Welcome to the podcast of Community Bible Church. Our mission is to know Christ intimately and share Him lovingly. We end our Global Missions Conference this Sunday with a message from Willie Hunter from Gospel Link, who was our special speaker for this conference. For more information or to find out how you can be involved, visit cbcomaha.org.
Good morning. It's good to be with you today, and it's always a joy to come back to a church that where I know a few people at least. I don't know all of you anymore, but I've met a number of you this week that are very familiar. This was my home church for the 4 years that I attended Grace College of the Bible back in the early 80s, and the sanctuary's changed a little bit, and the structure and everything, but it's still the church, and you're still preaching God's word, and still involved in missions and reaching the lost, and for that I'm thankful, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to have come back on numerous different occasions over the last 37 years, and just to visit sometimes and not have a role, and sometimes to have a role in your service. It's always a joy to be here. If you don't know a lot about Gospel Inc., I encourage you to go out to our table. There's a little brochure here that talks really about the main emphasis of Gospel Inc., which is our national preacher sponsorship program, which your church is involved in as a whole. So when you're giving from week to week, to Community Bible Church, a portion of their missions budget goes to support three different missionaries that partners with CBC and Gospel Inc. On three different continents, I believe, or at least two, in the Congo, in Tanzania, and your most recent one in the Ukraine. We also produce a quarterly magazine called the Gospel Inc. Advance, and this is a great publication to get familiar with Gospel Inc. and some of our other ministries as well. These are free out there on the table. If you'd like to pick one of those up, if you don't know much about Gospel Inc., would really encourage you to pick one of those up, take it home, read through it, get to know us so you can pray for us more intelligently. And if you have any questions after the service, please come see me. But excited to be with you today. As the screen says, I work with a ministry called Gospel Inc., and one of our mottos at Gospel Inc. is advancing the gospel through national preachers, a complement to any missionary strategy. And one of the unique things about Gospel Inc. is we work with indigenous church planting pastors in developing nations around the world. So we work with right now around 1,250 to 1,300 different pastors on 15 different nations on three different continents. But many of them travel by bicycle, as you see the man here in the picture on the screen behind me. He's going to a village with a bicycle over his shoulder. He's crossing a man-made bridge, some river in a part of Africa to reach another part of his nation, or perhaps a neighboring nation, with the gospel of Christ. And so it's been an honor to be a part of this ministry for the last 20 years and to watch it grow from just a few missionaries in one country to 15 countries and over 1,000 pastors around the world today that are sharing the gospel every week. In the 20 years history of Gospel Inc., we've seen over 7 million people come to know Christ as their Savior. We've seen over 40,000 churches started in one of those 15 countries. I don't do all that math. We have other people at Gospel Inc. that really love that. But we see, I think, three or four new churches started every day somewhere around the world through the power of multiplication and working with these indigenous church planting pastors. The world that you and I live in is a huge world. Today, there's about 7.6 billion people alive in the world. There's more people alive on planet Earth now than there ever has been during any other time in the history of the world. And yet, when you travel across the western plains of Nebraska or Kansas or a lot of America, there's room for more. Some people would say there's not, but there's a lot of open spaces in almost every nation of the world. But there's a lot of people living on the Earth today. Of that number, approximately 1 billion are what we would call Bible-believing Christians, or they follow a Christian faith of some kind. So that's a big number, but if you do the math, that means there's over 6 billion people that do not know Christ as their Savior today, and that's an even larger number. Of that number, there are 3 billion people that have never heard of Jesus even one time, not once. They've never met another Christian. They've never seen the Bible. They've never seen the book of John. They've never heard a worship song about the creator of the world. They have no clue that they probably have a clue, because the Bible says God's created us with eternity in our heart in the book of Ecclesiastes, and God desires to have a relationship with them. But over 3 billion that don't know Christ, have never heard of Christ. There's no church in their people group or their village, and sometimes even their city, to tell them about Christ. That's a big number. We don't often think in billions. It's hard for us to visualize what a billion looks like, so I want to help you with that illustration this morning. If I was to take a billion people, just one-third of that number, 3 billion have never heard, if I was just to take 1 billion and line them up single file and tell them not the message of salvation, but just the name of Jesus, not even Jesus Christ, just Jesus, just the name Jesus. And every time I said his name, that person left and the next person came in line. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And every time I said that name, a new person stepped in front to hear the name of Jesus. Do you have any idea how long it would take me as one individual to tell 1 billion different people, one by one, just the name Jesus, not what Jesus did for them, but just so they could hear the wonderful, the beautiful, the powerful name of Jesus? If I did that every day, never sleeping, never eating, never leaving, just Jesus, 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 it would take me over 32 years to say the name of Jesus 1 billion times. To tell 3 billion people, I would have to live to be a very old man. I would have to be 96 years old to tell those 3 billion people just the name Jesus. It's a huge number. Yet Jesus wants them to hear. Where do these people live? Where do the majority of these unreached people groups live? Well, if you look at this map, the red dots are kind of hard to see, but those are the largest unreached people groups in the world. There are around 6,500 unreached people groups in the world today. And that blue box is what we call the 1040 window. And that's where most of the unreached live. And it's also where the fewest number of missionaries are going today, because many of those nations are closed to the gospel. These people are largely unreached today because they're in difficult places to get to. They're in nations that are oftentimes closed to traditional missionary work. And if the families in those villages repent of their errant ways and receive Christ as their Savior, many of them are going to suffer a rejection from their family and their community, and sometimes they're going to lose their life. But this is where the majority of the unreached people live. 5 out of 6 unreached people groups live within that window called the 1040 window. What is the 1040 window? It's a phrase that we throw around in missions conferences. It's very simple. It's the bottom line is 10 degrees north of the equator, and the top line is 40 degrees north of the equator. So that's why we call it the 1040 window. But there are red dots outside the 1040 window. There are red dots down in South America. There are a few red dots even in our nation, in the nation of North America, and up in the former Soviet Union. And so it's not just the 1040 window. I want to look with you today at the last words of Christ. Your missions conference this week is be obedient. Be his heart. And on Friday night, we looked at Psalm chapter 67, and we looked at some other Old Testament passages, because I believe every book of the Bible shares God's heart for the nations. Yesterday morning, we looked at the hands of Jesus, and we looked at a miracle he did of healing a blind man named Bartimaeus out of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 42. And today we're going to look at various passages in the New Testament. Several of them are indeed the last words of Jesus Christ before he left the earth over 2,000 years ago to sit down at the right hand of his Father, because he had finished the work that God had sent him to do here on planet Earth. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is in the New International Version on the screen. This is what we often call the Great Commission. But Jesus spoke these words after he had lived on earth for 33 years, after 3 years of public ministry. And he had already died, and he had already risen from the dead. And he'd walked on the earth for 40 days as a risen Savior when he spoke these words. And after he spoke these words, he left. His work was finished. And we're waiting again for his second coming. What do these verses say? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The last words of Jesus were to go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But which people? To go and make disciples of all nations. Now, in our English language, we just don't have all the right words sometimes to translate words from their original context. In the Greek, this is the word ethnos. And we get another English word called ethnic groups or people groups from this. But when we read it in English, we see the word nations, we think of the United States of America, one of 240 plus nations on the earth today. Or we think of Canada or Mexico or Brazil or Niger or Tanzania or Zambia or Madagascar. Those are the nations of the world. But the exciting thing about missions is that the church has grown. As Steve and Mickey shared, that in Niger, there are missionaries coming to Niger from different nations, not just the United States of America. There are missionaries coming into the mission fields of the world today from Korea, from Brazil, from just all kinds of different nations to reach unreached people groups around the world. And that word nations, there are churches today in every nation on the earth. In the 240 plus nations of the world today, there is a church in every geographical nation that we call a nation today in the world. When I was preparing for missions over 37 years ago here in Omaha at Grace College of the Bible, that was not true. There were entire nations unreached 37 years ago. Today, that's untrue. Today, all the nations of the world have been reached with the gospel of Christ. Amen? The gospel has grown and it has increased, and the church looks a lot different today than it did 37 years ago. I was born in the 60s, and in the 1960s, about 70% of the Christians in the world lived in North America and Europe. Today, the Christians of North America and Europe make up about 25 to 30% of the body of Christ. Today, 70 to 75% of the body of Christ is African, is Chinese, is Brazilian. There are more Christians in China and more Christians in Africa than there are in North America. The church has grown and developed around the world. Still a lot of need for missions, but the mission field is changing, and it is a multicultural ministry today because the church is everywhere around the world. But still a lot of need. There's 6 billion people that don't know Christ, 3 billion that have never heard, 6,500 ethnos, ethnic groups, people groups, over 6,500 people groups in the world today that doesn't have a church, that a missionary has not traveled to, that doesn't have the Bible in their language, over 2,000 languages in the world today that don't, they still don't have one verse of the Bible translated into their language. And the last words of Christ are to reach these parts. This is an example of the way missions is changing. This is Antanasi and Rachel Habimana. They're Gospel Link National Directors for work in the Democratic Republic of Congo with Gospel Link. And he's one of my dearest friends. I've known him for over 10 years now. He went to Tanzania to get a Bible education and a missions education. And then he traveled back to a war-torn part of Congo where many people would never go back. If they had the privilege to leave, they would never go back because it's really hell on earth in Congo. It's a very difficult part of the world to live in. But he moved away for about 10 years, got a Bible college degree, got a master's degree, and then he moved back to the nation where he was born to reach his nation with Christ. And he's started dozens of schools around this war-torn nation in small villages for children to get a good education. He has started a denomination of churches where there's over 100 churches in the eastern part of Congo that have grown out of God's blessing upon a man named Antanasi Habimana. He's started churches in Congo. He started churches in Burundi, in Rwanda, in Uganda, in Tanzania. He's a global missionary within Africa. He's reaching not just his local village, but his reach is wide because God has blessed him in a mighty way. These are five of his regional directors that oversee the ministry of Gospel Link in this eastern part of Congo, where we have about 80 indigenous missionaries that Gospel Link is working with. And these men are each responsible for 20 to 30 of those men. And this is a picture of my last gathering of these guys. I was couldn't get a visa in 2017 to even get into Congo. So these men traveled to Rwanda to spend a day with me. And I got to pray with them, and I got to hear their stories of lives redeemed and churches being started in war-torn villages in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the same event, just written by Mark this time instead of Matthew. Mark's kind of like the Reader's Digest version of the gospel. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Mark is the shortest. He took all those words that Matthew used in Matthew 28, and he condensed it into about a dozen words here in Mark 16, 15. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And that word, to all creation, is the Greek word kitsos. And it's better translated in Africa, you would say, it would go into all the world and preach the good news to every village. In Western culture, in American culture, for sure, we would say go and all the world and preach the gospel to all the neighborhoods of Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha is a big town. I think I saw over 300,000 people on a sign here recently this week when I was traveling through Omaha. It's a lot of neighborhoods in Omaha. God wants every neighborhood in Omaha to be reached with the gospel of Christ. So it's even larger. It's not... Nations are huge, but there's many more people groups than nations, and there are many more neighborhoods than people groups. He wants every village in Africa. He wants every neighborhood in North America to be reached with the gospel of Christ. This is another one of my national directors that I'm responsible for in Rwanda. I oversee the work of for Gospel Link in four different African countries. One of them is Congo. Second one is Rwanda, and this is Aphrodite and Colette Mutabaruka, and they live in Kigali. And some of you are old enough to remember that in 1994, there was a 100-day massacre of two tribes in Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis. And over 800,000 people lost their lives in Rwanda in a 100-day period of time. It's like the world had just forgotten about Rwanda. And there was hate, and there was sin, and there's a lot of hurting people in Rwanda. And Aphrodite lived through this time, and as a result came to know Christ, and God has allowed him to get a good education, and he speaks a little bit of English, not real good. He speaks Kenya Rwanda as his heart language, but I've stayed in his home on numerous visits to Rwanda and gotten to know his family, and we have about 30 Gospel Link pastors that we work with in Rwanda, and these other two men are my regional directors that each of them oversee 15 or so different Gospel Link missionaries in Rwanda, and this is a picture I took on one of my recent trips to Rwanda of not all of the pastors that we work with, but the majority of them that came and spent a few days with me in the capital city of Kigali. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 47, Jesus said, again, this is the same event that Mark talked about and Matthew talked about. This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That's the word ethnos, to all nations, to all people groups, to all ethnic groups. John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, this was before his crucifixion, but still, all throughout the Bible, we see Jesus as a heart and a voice. He wants all people to be known and to know his power and to know his salvation. Jesus said, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." When the church understands the importance of unity, unity in the gospel and the power of the cross, the power of the message of salvation, and we break down some of the walls that have divided us, I did a big study on this years ago when I was a pastor of a church here in the United States. And the way the Greek literally reads here is that when this is accomplished, Jesus said, "I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." When the church, the global church, I'm not talking about the unification of the church, but I'm talking just about a unity of the gospel and the message of salvation. When it reaches this point, that's defined perhaps only by the Holy Spirit, then the world will know, without a doubt, there's confidence spoken in this verse. When that happens, the world will have a clear understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. But God wants, Jesus wants, the Holy Spirit wants all people to know him. The voice of God, we need to be the voice of God. We need to speak the message of salvation. This is Sammy and Anna Kabonaki, and they live in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He's Gospel Link's national director for over 220 missionary families that Gospel Link has in the beautiful nation of Tanzania, Africa. And Kathy and I have known this family for nearly all the 20 years that we've been with Gospel Link. We've watched their children grow up to be amazing young adults today. They're about the same age as our children, and we're about the same age as Sammy and Anna. And they're just wonderful, wonderful people. But they have taken the gospel to many, many different people groups within Tanzania and Kenya and even to Mozambique and other parts of Africa. These are my key leaders in Tanzania, Africa. Each one of these men is a regional director that oversees the ministry of 20 to 30 Gospel Link missionaries in the beautiful nation of Tanzania. And this last summer, we went to Morogoro, Tanzania with a member of your church. Leah Storvert went with us to Tanzania, Africa. And we put on a pastors and wives conference for all the Gospel Link missionaries that we have there. And 353 pastors and wives came for about a week. And we have 12 regions of pastors in Tanzania and 12 different parts of the nation. And we all came together and we had 13 sessions together. And 12 of those sessions were individually led by the pastors from each one of those regions. And we heard songs spoken and sung, testimonies from each of those regions, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. There's Leah and my wife and a friend of ours named Carol Butte from Lincoln, Nebraska, that went with us this last year to Tanzania, Africa. And Leah supports an orphan that lives in the home of a Gospel Link preacher, and she wanted to visit the orphan that she had been supporting for a few years, and so she got the opportunity. The orphan got to travel with the pastor to the conference, and Leah got to spend 3 or 4 days with the child that she had been praying for and supporting for several years. And Gospel Link's privileged to have about 150, I believe, maybe, I don't know the exact number, but orphans that we support for $30 a month that live in the home of a Gospel Link supported missionary. In Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, the book of Acts is written by the gospel writer Luke, so it sounds a little bit like our passage in Luke that we just read. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he said, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. These are the last words of Christ. After he spoke these words, it says he was lifted up on a cloud and he left, and he's been gone now for over 2,000 years. What were the last words of Christ? He said, "I want you to go and be my witnesses." What is a witness? A witness is somebody who has seen something or heard something, knows something, and he's asked, in a legal system, a witness is asked to give a testimony, to testify about something that he or she knows or has seen or has heard about, to give confidence or to give evidence that this might be true. This in the Greek, this is the word martis. We get another English word from that that I think is a little stronger, and it's the word martyr. A martyr is someone who is willing to die for something that they believe in. And all around the world today, there are Christians who are giving up their life for Christ. They're martyrs. Now, we read about martyrs in the religion of Islam around the world, where many times they strap bombs to themselves and they blow things up. That's not the kind of martyr I'm talking about. I'm talking about a martyr who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and he's not trying to take other people's life with him or her because he's got bombs strapped to his body. But there are thousands of Christians dying every year in the 21st century that we'll never know until we get to heaven. Because there are many parts of the world today where it's very dangerous to confess Christ as your Savior. But in spite of that danger, they're willing to confess Christ, and they could redeem their life on earth for a few more years or even sometimes a few more decades if they would recant their faith and say that they believe in some other religious belief system around the world. But thousands of Christians every year so believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior that they're willing, if necessary, to give up their very life here on earth because they know that their lives have been redeemed, their souls have been saved by the power of the cross, by the power of the blood, and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful witness, willing to give up your life. And yet, really, we live in one of the most violent times of church history that have ever been written, and we know very little about it. If you don't know much about it, I really encourage you to get to know a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. It's really their whole goal is to educate us about Christians who are suffering severe persecution around the world. But God wants us to be his witness, if necessary, to even give up our life. To be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that phrase, to the ends of the earth, is the word eschatos. We get a big, long theological word out of that called eschatology, which is the doctrine of the end times that we read about in Daniel and we read about in Revelation and other parts of the Bible. But here it means to the very last people on the earth. The Great Commission is for nations. It's for ethnic groups. It's for neighborhoods and villages. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's, I want you to be my witness to even individual families and individual people that live in homes, to husbands and wives and sons and daughters and grandfathers and grandmothers. It's individuals that Jesus died for. He knows their name. He knows your name. And he wants them to have the opportunity to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the Dongo Church. It's a church that Kathy and I had the privilege to worship in just this last year in 2018 when we went to Tanzania. It's in a small village area, and there's a pastor there that's not even supported by Gospel Inc., but he was trained up to be a pastor by a Gospel Inc. preacher named Alex Mwasili in the city of Morogoro, Tanzania. But his church looks a lot different than Community Bible Church's building, right? And they've been worshiping in this building since 2015, I believe the slide says. So they've been meeting there for 4 years. And they started under a tree, and they built this building that still doesn't keep them dry when it rains, and they're still meeting there today. As far as I know, there's not much improvement on that building. But that village is now reached in the mountains outside Morogoro, Tanzania, because a pastor went there to tell the good news of Christ and be a testimony, and people received the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is the words of Paul. I'm just kind of taking you on a journey through the New Testament today. We've looked at the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Here's a testimony from the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's a theme here, the voice of God. He wants all peoples, all men, all women, all children to be reached with the gospel of Christ. This is Chamwino Church, another church that Kathy and I worshiped in last year when we were in Tanzania, Africa, right in the city of Morogoro. And again, they need a roof, and we worship in so many buildings that are like this or much worse. But there's a new church being born in this kind of suburb of the city of Morogoro, Tanzania, by Pastor Emmanuel Mhanda. This is Kabagunda Church, started 3 years ago up in the mountains of Muleba near the border of Rwanda and Uganda. And Pastor Romeward is the pastor there and just doing a great job. It's a simple building just made with thatched grasses, and there's no seats in the building. When you just walk in, there's just grass on the floor of the church, and the congregation sits on the grass. But this was an unreached village at one point. And today, Kabugunda has a gospel preaching church in it. And the voice of God has reached into this village and redeemed people and saved them for all of eternity. The New Testament writer Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And this is the heartbeat of God. Sometimes we say, man, it's been 2,000 years. Why isn't Christ coming? The world seems to be falling apart around us. And there's all kinds of bad news when we turn on the TV at 5:30 in this country about what's happening here and other parts of the world. Why isn't Jesus coming back? Well, he's not coming back because he's patient, because there's other people that names need to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, there's all kinds of ways to reach the world today. There's Christian radio, there's the internet, there's Campus Crusade for Christ has developed a wonderful tool that many of my missionaries work with called the Jesus Film. Just all kinds of ways to reach people with the gospel of Christ. But you know what? The most common way for someone to come to Christ today in 2019 is by somebody just sitting right beside them and sharing with them how Jesus has changed their life, and opening up God's word and sharing with them how Jesus wants to save their life. Most people in the world today aren't saved through technology. They're not saved through a radio ministry or through a film. Most people come to Christ today because someone sat beside them, opened up their Bible, and showed them that God loves them and God has a wonderful plan for their life, and he wants to forgive them of their sin. The voice of God. We need to be the voice of God. We are his hands and his feet today. Jesus has been gone for over 2,000 years. And we are the voice of God today. We are the ones who have been given the wonderful blessing of being his voice here in Omaha and around the world so that these people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a Bagayamba Church, started just last year outside of Mwanza, Tanzania, and it's really just a stick structure with a tarp. And when Kathy and I were invited to come preach at this church last summer, we really wondered if anybody would show up, but we had about 30 people show up that day. And this is the pastor and his wife who have started this little church, and they're just wonderful, wonderful people. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Aren't we looking forward to this day? And it's going to come one day. There will be people standing before God's throne from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And but Jesus is patient, waiting for just those people that he wants to hear the gospel of Christ through perhaps your voice or my voice, through the life that he's given to you to be of good news to people that need to know him right here in Omaha. Just going to close with just by showing you a few pictures of one of my last trips to Africa just last year. This is Pastor Gideoni Dowdy, and he has taken the gospel to the Bashakavya village in Tanzania, Africa. This is John Lewini, and he's taken the gospel to Kanyinya village in Tanzania, Africa. This is Festo Kilasa, and he's taken the gospel to Chankoba village in Tanzania, Africa. This is Boazi Mulila, and he's taken the gospel to Yaishazi village in Tanzania, Africa. And this is Agostini Kikata, one of my regional directors up in that northwestern part of Tanzania, Africa. Lives in the city of Muleba and oversees about a dozen Gospel Link pastors who are taking the good news of Christ, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Bible, into the villages of the northwestern regions of Tanzania, Africa. God's voice is still going out today. There are still many people that need to hear it. And they're going to hear it through the obedience of his church, that we are his hands and we are his feet. And so I really challenge you to be obedient when God prompts you to go across the street and share a testimony of how God has worked in your life to do that. Perhaps somebody that you win to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in Omaha, Nebraska. Perhaps God will use that individual, if not you, to go to a faraway part of the world to tell somebody else about the good news of Christ, or to reach a university student here in the Omaha area that's from a closed nation and will take the gospel back after receiving Christ during their time of education here in the United States. We don't know how God's going to work, but I do know God wants to work through you. God wants to work through Community Bible Church so that when Christ comes, there aren't 6,500 unreached people groups. Thank you for letting me be with you this weekend, challenging you with God's word. And I pray that you well be his heart, his hands, his voice. Thank you so much.
If you would like to listen to this message again or subscribe to our podcast, visit cbcomaha.org. Thank you for listening.